Why can I say I am God? What right do I have to claim this infinite consciousness as my reality, as who I am? What right do I have to do that? This is a question I ask myself every time I think about it. And every time I think about it, the answer is more and more clear. It says, I can say that I am God, for God is all. And if I am aware that God is all, if I believe that God is all, then I must say that I am that allness. We sometimes overlook the idea that animals, minerals, vegetables, all these things, they're God too. They're God in God's most magnificent expression. They're God expressing as an animal, mineral, vegetable, whatever. They're God expressing in just that way. But why would God ever want to express itself in less than the allness that it is? Why would God ever want to be some object that does not demonstrate every aspect of its being? And the answer comes back, God always expresses itself in all aspects of its being, in whatever form it takes, in whatever form it expresses itself, human, animal, mineral, vegetable, whatever, it makes no difference. A stone is as much God and all of God as a human being. And a human being, we sometimes wonder how much of God they really are. Well, everything is all of God. Now, can a stone express itself as the divine? Can a stone express itself as the ideal? Can a stone express itself as the allness? Can a stone be everything that the divine is? Well, we wonder about that. Because a stone is so limited in its ways of expressing, so limited in its ways of living, in its ways of expressing who it is. But think about it. What do you know, what do I know about a stone? Are we privy to a stone's way of operating, its modus operandi? Are we privy to that? Are we aware of how a stone thinks, and how a stone acts, and how a stone is? In the allness of the divine, an instant is an instant. And an instant for a stone may be 10,000 years. An instant for a human body may be 100 years, 1,000 years. A flower has a shorter life. Many creatures have even shorter life than that. And as these creatures have short lives, in that short existence, they experience all that I am. They experience the total divinity of their God self. We think time is such a real object, such a real thing. But even on our planet Earth, time is expressed in many different ways by many different objects. Truly a stone has an immortal life. It lives thousands and millions of years. Isn't that interesting? And humans live far less than that. But could humans live as long as a stone? Of course. Because the God of the stone and the God of the humans is the same thing. It does not say that the lifespan of one is greater than the other or less than the other. It only says one thing. All is one. Now, I'll throw this out for just a second to me. What if I wanted to be a stone instead of a human? Could I do that? Easily. In my human way of thinking, I can put a new cause in motion that I'm a stone. And then I'll be a stone. I'll be all that I am, but in a stone. And so, how does a stone respond to its universe? How does a stone move? How does a stone think? How does a stone act? And we say, from our human point of view, a stone does not act very quickly. It does not act very definitely. It acts very slowly. But it's still all that God is. It's still the allness. And that it acts slower makes us think that it is functioning in a different way. And truly it is functioning in a different way. But actually it's functioning just like the human. And I say that because all time is here and now. To a stone, its timelessness and its timeliness are always on deck. They're always being there. They're always being done. And to a human, the time is apparently more rapidly. To a fruit fly, the time is even more rapidly. And we don't think that it's not nice of a fruit fly. We don't think that a fruit fly is not the allness of God. We know the fruit fly is as much the allness of God as a human being, as a stone. But that still doesn't give us the authority, the power, to speak our word and say, that stone is God. The tsetse fly is God. I am God. But it can. It can when we just let go and see with our deeper eye, see with our eye that has the attention, the ability to be aware far greater into the total picture of things than we give it credit for. So we think about the stone, and we think about how old a stone can be. And yet we can take a stone and put it in a crusher and completely change its composition and change its direction, change its program, and come up with something more fluid, closer to the fluidity of man. And yet, that's not too exciting. To have a lot of dust. The Bible tells us from dust we come to dust we return. When we are done with our physical body, when we're done with this house that we live in, this automobile that drives us around, we call our body, when we are done with it, we let it go and it shrivels up and returns to the original dust, the original integrity, the original expression of what it is. It's the allness of God. And so as it returns to this dust, as it returns to this apparent nothingness, what else is happening? Every speck of dust returns to its original purity and integrity, which is total life. which is the total activity of all that is good and beautiful, all that is whole and perfect. It reflects that, it is that. And that's who I am. That's who all are. The divine, the pathway within, the wholeness within. Why can I say I am God? And why can I say I am God when I really have no idea what God is? But from the scattering of ideas that I have about what God is, what do I say? Well, I say God is the all. That's the easy way to say it. We want to say God is the thinker and the thought, and in a way, God is the thinker and the thought, but God is not the thinker thinking or the thought thought. God is the thinker thought, and thinking never starts and never ends. Thinking is what we are in reality. We are the thinker doing whatever we think about. We are the thinker being every thought we ever thought. We are the wholeness. We are the magnificence. Each one of us here in this wonderful temple, each one of us look at ourselves and we say, oh, if I could only be as magnificent as that person, if I could only be as fulfilled as that person, some other person, if I could only express the genius and the magic that these other people are expressing, if I could only do that, well, we are saying each morning for 1 hour, I am God, God I am, with the intention that we are training our thought, training our attitudes, training our life to think and believe that it is God and that it is God now and always. And no matter what we do, that thought is always in us. It's always expressing who and what we are, and it's always revealing who and what we are to us. But is that the allness of God, whatever our human self can reflect to us? Hardly. It's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Who we really are is far more grand and far more wonderful than anything we could ever be, because every moment we seem to be becoming aware. Every moment we reflect, we respond to, we shine forth the greatness that we are. But each moment, the greatness becomes grander and grander and grander. Each moment, who and what we are unfolds itself in a form that we had not believed possible before. And we feel so good about it and so fulfilled and so rewarded and so satisfied. I can say I'm God, for in my world, all is God. In my world, my body is God. Regardless of how it responds or how it acts or how it functions, it is God. And it is the allness of God. And as the allness of God, I express it fantastically. We look at a group of people and we say one person is brighter than another. One person is more brilliant than another. One person has more genius than the other. And then we stop looking at all things from the human point of view, and we see within each person a brilliance, a beauty, a magnificence, more grand than anything we have ever known. And we limited ourselves by calling one person less fulfilling than another. And perhaps that person who is apparently less fulfilling is more deeply into their spiritual self than the person who is all surface, all out in the open. And yet all of us want to have this deep fulfillment, this deep awareness. We want to have this intuitive self that knows all things. Without asking, without searching, without saying, I know that I know that I know, the divine in me knows the answer. We know it without drawing it into being, drawing it into our awareness. We know it. We know it. We know that all is, and all is good and very good. And as we say all is good and very good, we say that we live in a wonderful world. We live in a grand world. We live in a world where everything expresses on the level of its expression. Now, I'm God. And I look at a stone, and I say, all right, stone, I know that you're God too, and I know that you are have a program for yourself, and I know that you have a plan, but I'm going to rush it along. I'm going to take a crusher, and I'm going to crush you and make you dust right away. And the stone says, it's all right. No problem. I flow with whatever takes place in my world because it is all good and very good. And then I misuse the crusher, and it crushes me. It crushes me, this human being. And it crushes me and crushes me and crushes me until the only thing left is dust. The only thing left is just the dust that is universal everywhere. There is no individualization about me anymore. There is no uniqueness about me as being who I am as a human. Just as there is no evidence of the uniqueness of the stone that's been crushed and is just now dust. And yet the dust is a uniqueness too. How can we say that this is God? A crushed stone or a crushed person? Just dust. What is the realness of God? What is the realness of who you and I, who we are? What is the realness of us? What is the realness of all? Is there an intelligence in the stone? Is there an intelligence in the stone when it has been made into powder? Is there an intelligence into every little fleck of dust when the stone has been crushed into powder? Is the presence and the awareness of the divine in each little fleck of dust unique and separate from the other flecks of dust, complete and whole in itself? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, the stone crushed into flecks of dust are now into millions of pieces of dust, millions of pieces. So here we have millions of consciousness expressing themselves, millions of them. And each one, we say, has all that God is in it. Each one, we like to say, has all of God in it, and all that God is, and all that God can do, and all that God thinks and does, or whatever. It's in the fleck of dust, in those millions of flecks of dust. Now, is each of those millions of flecks of dust all the same because they came from the same stone? No. Each one is like the snowflake with its own unique, separate, wonderful pattern that does not duplicate or replicate itself at all. It is. And so I can say I am God, for God is the vastness and the uniqueness and the allness of everything. And God is the individualization of every fleck in a crushed stone or a crushed mineral or anything else. As my divine self cast upon the seashore all of these grains of sand, the millions and billions of grains of sand, which apparently have nothing to do except to just lay there. Is that what they do? Or is there something greater inside of each fleck of sand? Is there something more wonderful than what we see on the surface of any object? Yes, that's true. God in us is so unique and so wonderful. But if we only look at the facade, the outer beingness, we see such a small infinitesimal fraction of what the object beingness is. And so we begin to call forth what the beingness is. And as we call forth what the beingness is, we recognize that even the being that we recognize is not what we think it is. We see a being and we say, how wonderful. What a grand being that is. And we stand in awe of that being and we say, how glorious. And then that being, of a sudden, begins to sing. And its voice is radiant, dynamic, alive, just glorious, joyous, free, fantastic. And we are illumined, we are uplifted, we are just so begeistered, so delighted in seeing what the voice sounds like when it starts singing. All voices do not have that same sound, but this voice does. And so I look at that and I say, I am God. And I say, I created that voice singing. And I create the voice singing at any time the voice chooses to sing or not. I am that. I am that. Why is one voice singing so delightful to everybody and another voice singing repugnant to other people? Because it's repugnant because we have not found the melody that voice is in. When another voice is singing differently from what we're familiar to, do we wake up and say, ah, that's another way of God expressing itself. That's another way of the allness being the magic that it is right now. Say, ah, goodness sakes, how wonderful, how fantastic, how glorious, wow. And only as we are God can we have this illumination. Only as we are God can we reach out and claim it, can we recognize it. It is our reality. Our reality is God. Our reality is good. We are that goodness. We are that wonder. We are that magic. We are it's all right now. Right now. We are utterly amazed, delighted, fulfilled, and it's just for us. Some people say, well, I'd like to know why I can say I am God. And so they go to the priest in the church. They go to the priest in the temple. They go to the rabbi. They go to the guru. They go to the philosopher. They go to the metaphysician. And they ask of each, why can I say I am God? And some will say to you, you cannot say that. For if you say, I am God, you are presuming that you are more magnificent than what the Heavenly Father is. And they'll say, you can't do that. You cannot say you're God. But most will say, of course you're God. You are that. But some people teach themselves to think that they are not God, and then they become an authority on not being God. They become an authority of knowing the allness of who they are, and yet they say, you're not all of God. We have that opportunity, we have that privilege, we have that experience of being the allness of God. And we have the opportunity and experience of always doing that, of being so one-pointed with that. The question is never asked. The question is rather like, jump, and you say, how high? You are God. How much of God am I expressing now? How much of the divine am I being now? How much of the allness am I now? And then you come up with a new answer. You come up with a new answer because you now are a new person. And you say to yourself and to your world, but mainly to yourself, I am all of God. And you say, well, that's not what I said. How could I say I'm God, I said. What do you mean? I am the allness of God. I am its isness. I am its expression. How can I say I am the allness of God? That's what I want to really know. And then I think about it. I think about it and I say, okay, if I can be so variable in my attitudes and so variable in my thought about myself, who I am, then I can certainly be more variable in knowing that I am the allness and I am it now. Knowing that the voice singing in my ear, speaking in my ear, letting me know about myself, is me. It is always wonderfully me. Then we know. Then we start to know. But it's a continual probing job. Not really a job, but continual probing experience. Always saying, I am God. I am God. I am God. Always saying, I am the allness. I am the wholeness. Now you say, surely God doesn't go around saying that all the time. Oh? Is there a unique, separate God that created us separate from ourselves? Is there a unique, separate beingness that speaks these words or thinks these thoughts or created the original universe? Is that the case? What is the real case? Where did all this come from? Is there some greater being than we are? Is there some greater awareness than we are? Is there some more allness in the universe than we are? Well, some people think that. But certainly, as God, you could not think that, because as God, you know you're the allness. As God, you know that you are everything that exists. And because you're everything that exists, what happens to you? What happens to you is that you are everything that exists. You have claimed it, you've named it for yourself, and now you say, okay, that's me. That's the area that I expressed my Godhood, my God self, my God reality. That's the area that responds to what I believe about myself. And so I go about my activities. I go about continually revealing to myself I'm God, continually knowing But I could say right now, I am God and I am all of God and I am the isness of God and there is nothing more beside me but God. We could say that right now. But that doesn't satisfy us. We have to know why we can say we're God. We have to know what are the areas in which we say that we're God. We have to know how we can speak our word and claim that we're God when we, so to speak, don't even know how to spell it. Do you spell God allness? Do you spell God isness? Do you spell God totality? Do you spell God as fulfillment of every desire of your heart? Very interesting. Very interesting. We each have every opportunity to claim and name and enjoy every aspect of our divinity. For really, we have many aspects. We have many aspects to our divinity, and we think that we are the allness of God, the oneness of God, but we still have many aspects of our beingness. And these aspects are as we shine forth who and what we really are. We shine forth our genius as a musician. We shine forth our genius as a parent. We shine forth our genius as a father, a mother, as anything at all. We shine forth that genius. And as we shine forth that genius, we feel a goodness permeate us. It floods through everything that we are, and we just feel wonderful. For that's who we are. That's the ideal that we are. And it's a very special time. Many of our friends talk to us about their demise and their problems and their world where they are now going to leave it all behind. And we say to them, you can do anything you want to do. You can stay or go, whatever you choose. You have no responsibility to anybody, any place, any time. All you are is being yourself. You are an aspect of God. And you say, well, doesn't God teach the family? Doesn't God teach the church? Doesn't God teach these things? And the answer is no. God teaches nothing. God is a living expression of the ideal of itself. And you take it home with you. You take the stone home with you. You take the ideas home with you. And as you take it home, as you consider it, as you make it yours, then whatever are its feelings are yours too. Yes, we do these things and we have a wonderful time in doing these things because we feel one as all. We feel that we are God, that we are the totality. It's a great experience. It's a great and wonderful experience. And every time we say it, we are harmonious. We are joyful. We find the excitement to be something overwhelmingly wonderful. And it is. It's overwhelmingly wonderful. Why can I say I'm God? That's all there is. Why can I say that I'm God, even knowing that's all there is? Because everything that is, I know, and everything I know is. And when I claim everything that is, everything that I know, then I begin to outwardly express those thoughts about who I am. If I say I am a genius, then I begin to express thoughts of being a genius. Let go and let it be. If I say that I'm a wonderful person, then I let go and let thoughts of that wonderful person permeate everything, everywhere it goes. And if I'm thinking about a school, then I have the ideal school. If I'm thinking about a children's nursery, I have the ideal nursery. If I'm thinking about an automobile, I have the ideal automobile for me. I have everything that I have because of one thing. whenever I play any game, which I play all the time, constantly I play games. Whenever I play any game, whatever it may be, I put myself into the game, but I put myself into the game at disadvantage to everyone else because I know everything. And I have taken all the food, all the goodies, frozen them, all the water, and with that, I go out and do all things. I am that. It works so beautifully. It works so wonderfully, so magnificently. And I am one as it. I can say I am God, for I live in the God presence. I can say I am God as I think thoughts. And these thoughts are major thoughts. They're beautiful thoughts. And yet, they're minor thoughts compared to the allness. I think thoughts of the universe, and I think I'm thinking big thoughts. And it is a big thought for my attitude about myself. I limit myself to my worldly consciousness, and the big thoughts that I have are there, they're around, but I don't do anything with them because that's not my choice at the moment. At the moment, I choose to go other places and do other things. I have the ability to be anywhere at any time, and how wonderful that is. I can do anything at any time. We all live our lives directed by the truth within us. We can say we're God because we are the masters of every thought we think, every action we take, and every attitude we have. We are the total expression of everything that's good. We can say we're God because it's the most wonderful thing in the world to say. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to do. To know that you are God and that everyone else is God too, and you at all times, you, I, we, at all times have our God in us, who we are, respond to the God in all beings on earth, all beings anywhere. We have instructed our divine self to flow with the divine self of each other person. And doing that, we feel so glorious, so fulfilled. We're right. It's all so right. And there is no wrong culture in humanity. There is no wrong attitudes among humans. There is nothing that is impossible that takes away from us the magic that we are. There's nothing that does that, and nothing that ever will. But to be able to express it by saying, I am God, God I am, and looking in the mirror and seeing God, to express those things is a very meaningful thing to us, because it repeats and repeats and repeats in our mind the truth about ourselves, so that we can express that truth in every wonderful possible way. It's a reality. And it's something that we are definitely working on. We're definitely using it and being it. Why can I say I am God? Why can I say I like me? Why don't I say something contrary? I'm not saying I like me because I'm doing good things all the time. I say I like me. We say I like me because that's it. That's the ultimate end of everything. I like me. And when I say I like me, I've covered everything. I've said everything that there is to say. And that is truly great, a truly wonderful experience. Now for a moment, let's think about what it means when I say, I like me. When I say, I know who I am. When I say, I am good. I'll give it a few thoughts for a few moments. I can say I am God. As I look at my physical body, and I see my eyes, and from my eyes I see the world about me, and from the fact that I am God, and I am good, and I am all that is good, I look at the world about me, and I see everything, and I call it good. And every experience I reveal in my life, every experience that I reveal in my life is something that I made the choice to reveal. I am a good person, so every experience that I reveal is good and very good. Now that I have realized that every experience I have is good and very good, let's have an experience. Think of how it is when you look at a cloud. You see a cloud in the sky and you say, that's pretty. It's a large cumulus cloud with its weatherhead rising high above the earth. Big balloons of wonderful clouds. and you say, oh my goodness, inside of that cloud is a tremendous action going on. It's like a great explosion going on again and again and again. And truly, it's not. It's merely it being itself. It's not bad, it's not good, it's just the cloud being itself. But I have the ability to look at that cloud being itself and say how wonderful it is. I have the ability to know that. I have the ability to be that and say, okay. So, what happens next as I look at that cloud and I see it soaring heavenward? And then I think to myself, okay, I'm God. I am going to think of something else. So I take my attention 100% and I think about the grass on the ground and how lovely the grass looks and how beautifully cut it is and how well it is maintained. And I think, what a lovely grass, forgetting all about anything else, forgetting all about the cloud, forgetting all about anything other than what I'm looking at, what I'm thinking about right now. And then I say to myself, well, I have the ability to completely remove the cloud from my thinking, and it's no longer there. I can even look into the sky and not see it there. But wherever I am, I create it not being there. And when I create it not being there, it's not there. Even though it may very well still be there. I have the ability to create and the ability to not create. I have the ability to manifest and not manifest. I have the ability to bring forth, to reveal that which already is there. Even that's a great step for me. If I say to myself, I am revealing to myself that which I choose to know and be and hear. So if I am revealing something to me, that means it's always been there. And if it's always been there, why is it that I haven't allowed myself to pay attention to it and think about it and know it? Why is it that it's something beyond me oftentimes? Well, it's beyond us only because we do not give it our attention. It's beyond us only because it is not something that we are concerned with at the moment. But we can change that very quickly and become concerned about it and become knowledgeable about it. We have the ability to be so facile, so changeable, so powerful and so powerless in whatever way we choose. But when we realize that we are God, we always have the feeling in our consciousness that we are on top of everything. We always have the feeling in our consciousness that everything we choose to know, we know. We always have in our consciousness that we are the master creator of our world. All right, now we once again enter into our own inner consciousness, our own inner awareness. And we say, okay, I'm into my own inner consciousness. And my own inner consciousness is good. And so I think in my inner consciousness, I am living in a happy heart. Now, what is a happy heart? It's nothing. It is attitude, you might say, but it's nothing. Nothing physical, nothing in any way that would define it, but what it brings forth in our world, what it reveals in our world, is something so great and so wonderful and so good that we can hardly believe it. We can hardly make ourselves feel that this is something we are. Not that we're worthy of it. We don't think that we're worthy of it. It's something that we are. So as we think that this is something that we are, Then the very next step is to use it. Right now, at this stepping point, at this stepping stone, in our 3-hour meditation where we're training ourselves in the awareness of the divine within us, right now, in this very moment, we can start putting cause or causes in motion and let these things reveal within us that which we are. So we decide we're going to take a trip to the moon. And so we say, how are we going to do that? Are we going to do that like a human being? Are we going to do it mentally? Are we going to do that spiritually? How are we going to do that? Just what is the technique that we're going to use? Well, we know that we have just learned that thoughts are things, and if we think the thought, we are wherever our thought is. Now, sometimes people run into thought that's gone amok, and it is not functioning harmoniously with its world and the people in it. And it becomes an irritation. And so the first thing that any of us ever do is to say that we are surrounded by our pure white light of love, we're surrounded by the infinite thought, we're surrounded by all that's good. Then, as we are in our 3-hour meditation, and we have any thought that comes to our mind, we are instantly that thought. We are instantly revealing to ourselves who we are and what the thoughts we think are. And how do we think these thoughts? Do we think these thoughts as though it's going to be, as though we're going to understand it, as though we are managing that? If that's the case, then you best be up front. You best think and act in every way that you are in charge. Because if you don't, then a lot of things will pass you by. Because a lot of things do not want to be second fiddle. A lot of things do not want to be a person. A lot of things do not want to be a human being that fits in any category and any reference you could want. Now, if you've been looking at your iPhone or at your mobile phone, and what you want to do is to bring yourself up to date with all your ideas. How do you bring yourself in line, up to date with all the latest? You bring yourself in line, up to date with all the latest by saying to yourself, I am up to date. I am in line with all that I am. And you pick up your attitude. This is what we do and can do to bring ourselves up to date with all that is not inharmonious, but all that is harmonious with who and what we are. We can do that, and we do that. People have meetings where they share with one another their town hall ideas. People have expectations and these exercises, these things that they're demonstrating for them. They are bringing forth from within themselves a majesty, a magic, a wonder that nothing else can express except everyone who has brought a bike there and left it there. Yep. We can say we're God so easily, so wonderfully, because that's all there is. And we enjoy every instant of it. We enjoy every single thought we think about why we can say we're God. And we know that this is who we are and this is what we are. I am God. God I am. I am the purity of the universe. I am the allness of the universe. And so we'll take a few moments before we have our final 3 hours, third hour, talking to God. So take a pause, come back on the hour, and let's get ready to go on the final flight of our wonderful adventure this morning. I love you. I love you.